I started the warm-up show with the Mets, but I'll give you the good here to begin, and that would be the Yankees last night. Now, Cody Bellinger's game-tying three-run homer I thought was the biggest hit in the game, but because he has been so much maligned, and again, last night with the fielding, not great. Anthony Volpe's offense, though, last night was pretty good.
And the pitch of Volpe, swing on, there you go, bloop single into center. Dominguez made sure, walks home, Yankees lead 4-3 here in the fourth. RBI single, Anthony Volpe, his 56th run batted in. That's a really good piece of hitting.
Yeah, put him in front by a run. Dave Sims, the call here on the Fan. And then later in the game, when the Yankees were up a couple of runs, he extended it with what turned out to be the longest home run of his career.
And a pitch from Kelly, swung on and driven to deep right center field. Got all kinds of carry. Giddy up, baby. Gone! A home run, Anthony Volpe. It's 7-4, New York. Anthony Volpe with his second hit tonight.
And he has really hit the baseball since the All-Star break. Dave Sims, the call on the Fan.
But
you did have the fielding issue.
We have an error in the ninth inning again.
Well, and you also had the early one with the flip.
I don't know what's going on with him. Here's what I think. I feel like, you think Ahmad Rosario could play shortstop for a couple days?
I could. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Maybe just give him a break from the field for a day or two. Just give him a couple days off. He hasn't had any days off as far as I'm concerned,
right? He plays every day. But you know what the weird part of that is? He's starting to hit.
I know. Well, put him as a DH or something, but then what do you do with Stanton?
Oh, I know. He
wasn't in the lineup last night.
I know. He got a break. And maybe that would have been
good.
He's
got a day game after a night game. And I was listening to Aaron Boone talk about this. But here's the thing. He is obviously pressing. Thinking too much.
He's thinking in the field too much.
And when he gets up into the batter's box, he tries to hit every ball out of the stadium like he did last night.
Now, that said, with the way he's thinking, I actually thought what he did at shortstop on the pop-up was a pretty smart play. Umpire didn't allow it by trying to guide the ball down and get the lead.
Well, that's a different story. That's a heady play by a heady ball player who's thinking.
So he's engaged
in the
game.
Ahead, yes.
Right. The problem is when he fields the ball, maybe not the flip play, but that play that should have ended the game, he's in his own head. He's taking three steps. He's pumping the glove. Like, just throw the ball.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's easy for us to say we don't understand the pressures that young man is under. But there is no question that, that ball should be chest high right into the glove of Goldschmidt.
Now, that said, as I said to C-Mac this morning, scoop it. A good first baseman helps out his shortstop in that situation.
For the most part this year, Goldschmidt has been over there doing exactly that.
Now, he didn't help him the other game either. The ball that popped out of his glove.
Well, that's a different story. But
I'm just saying, it could look better than it is if he got a little bit of help on the other side.
See when Lindor throws the ball across the diamond?
Yeah, and Alonso scoops it like he did last night. And you're right. Most of them are chest high. I'm saying
8 out of 10 are chest high.
Absolutely.
And I would say in the ninth inning,
it was a bad throw. I agree with you.
Maybe a couple days off. Couple days off.
Maybe. Here he is, though, talking about the fielding issues, no doubt new.
Yeah, no, I never really experienced something like this, but you got really good guys around me, and I consider myself, I know what I'm capable of, so.
Guy hits a bomb.
He did.
Yes, he did. He's a big reason why they won. He has an error in the ninth, he gets booed, and that's what he's got to discuss after a win.
Yeah, I mean, he did talk about his offense, but, I mean, unfortunately, if you're covering that game, you know that has to be asked, unfortunately.
Right. He's got to get more consistent. He's got to play cleaner games, and it's got to be a force defensively because that was one of his calling cards when he came up.
Max Fried, a strange night, not so good early, not so good late, but dominant in the middle. He did get the win, and Devin Williams did allow a run in the ninth, but did earn the save. Will Warren, the start tonight on the Fan at 7:05. Luis Gil expected to start Sunday against the Marlins. The Yankees now four games behind Toronto because the Blue Jays were swept in a doubleheader by the Orioles. Clobbered 16-4, and then they lost 3-2 on the second.
And the Orioles traded one of their pitchers to the Blue Jays
Anthony Dominguez.
The doubleheader.
Yes. Kind of cool. That's happened before, but that's kind of neat.
And then he pitched against the Orioles in the second game,
which is cool. As for the Mets in San Diego, this is the spot to me where not that the game was decided, but it's a scoreless. Not scoreless. The Padres are winning 1-0. The Mets load the bases, top of the fifth, and this is what you get out of Lindor, which should have been Juan Soto, but he was out of the game because of the foot, the foul ball off the foot. And then Alonso. Here's your 28 seconds of these at-bats.
2-2. swing and a miss. He struck him out. And for the third time tonight, Lindor struck out. Hit high in the air to center. Merrill moving in. Beatty tags. It's Tatis who makes the catch in front of Merrill. Fires home. Beatty sprints home to score. Popped him up. On the infield, toward the mound, behind the mound, Cronenworth comes down, makes the two-hand catch, and the inning is over.
G is here, so that's good. We're not off to a great start. Boomer's pissed off because he doesn't have his chair, which is really G's chair, but he was sitting in G's chair. Now they're switching chairs. It's musical chairs. Chairs, chairs, chairs. Everybody's chairs. We got to figure out where. Anyhow, those were the three at-bats. Lindor the whiff, the sack fly from Marte, who pinch hit in that spot, and then you get Alonso pops up, and that be that. They don't
score. You know, this
again.
Chair feels like an old Cadillac. You know what I'm saying?
That's the chair you sat in all week yesterday, the week before?
It doesn't feel like my chair.
It's your chair, man.
I don't know. This feels like it's a chair from like 10 years ago.
It's not one of the newer ones, that's for sure.
No, it's not, because I could always move the...
Let me tell you, this seat is warm. It is really warm. I don't know what was happening over there, but...
Am I in your chair, sir?
Wait a second. Wait. I think that's my chair.
See, there you go.
And I think that's... Probably is that your chair, Jerry?
I sit in whatever's here, to be honest.
See,
with you.
Jerry, I have no idea. That's like an old Cadillac leather.
So I'll take the old Cadillac.
All right. So,
all right, here we go.
Wow.
Give me that chair.
Okay. You like this chair better?
I do like that chair better because it's got a higher back.
Okay.
And you got a small little fat back.
The fat of my back.
7-1, by the way.
You know what? This is not my chair, but it's okay. Whatever makes you feel better. That's definitely Al's chair.
Manny Machado, homer.
I don't even think this is my chair either.
This is definitely not mine, but we're going to go with this right now.
Right now, and then we'll figure out, because I think somebody stole my chair out of here.
Wouldn't be shots why Al locks his up, because people and you know who also has an issue with this? Zach Martin. People go in and take his chair out of his studio.
Well, they don't like him, though. That's why.
I don't know who
they're actually people taking Al's chair.
They used to. That's why he locks up his chair.
What are these sons of bitches around here doing?
But he also does it because he doesn't want the other producers on the weekend using his chair and pumping farts into the seat. He has said that. That's his thing, not my thing.
That is very true.
By the way, Big Intern's back. I thought he had quit.
Came in early.
The opposite of me. But, I'd seen Big Intern in like 3 weeks.
And how about the fact, when we were at this event Friday, people really thought that photo was real of him looking like he's 9 feet tall.
Well, that's Izzo's good at what he does.
But you're 6'6", and people thought that was real.
Well, he is taller than me.
They would make him 10 feet tall.
I was just telling Big Intern that I worked for Al the day after that photo was posted, and most of the calls that day were people asking, like, well, it can't be real, right? And I would tell them, like, I mean, I guess not, but I wasn't here, so I don't know. And they're like, but it can't possibly be real. And people were being fooled by it for a whole day.
Well, the other thing we did was when he came in here, we put our seats all the way down and his all the way up. So on CBS Sports Network, it looked like he was that big on video as well. So, but there is a lot of people that I know that are smart people that thought that that was real. And, you know, Mike Bear Down Cubs, who's an internet guy, he was like, hand up. I thought it was real.
Oh, by the way, he made me look like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was 6'7". 6'7", jacked, this guy, Mike Villani.
He felt like...
Humongous.
What a...
Beat the snot out of everybody around him.
I felt like such a turd.
I told him, I was like, if I were you, I would be fighting people all the time. Just for my own satisfaction.
Yeah, I suppose that's... Remember Willie always talks about people want to fight him because he's a big guy. I wonder if Mike gets that too.
Oh, I'm sure he, or at least did in his 20s, probably.
What about you, Boom? People ever want to fight you?
No. I mean, like, I'm not looking for fights. I'm not looking...
Well, Willie says he's never looking for fights either, and people, like, want to challenge him.
Yeah, I'm a little bit older than Willie. I mean...
But back in the day, you must have had an experience like that.
I mean, come on.
Everywhere I go, someone's like, I played Boomer in a scrimmage, and I sacked him. And I pushed him down. You know, he didn't get up real quick. I remember that.
That's sports.
Okay.
I mean, one time I think I got into a fight in a pewter tankard. And also at Hutley's, and Solomon Grundy's, and Matthews.
Wow.
And the OBI.
All right, so it has happened.
And the Bordy Barn.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got to a few fights.
You've had a bunch of scrums.
Right, and then your boy Anthony Cumia went to go hit me, and he broke his hand.
Great story.
Yep. I don't know why he went to hit me. A little...
Anyway, Mets lose 7-1. They now lead the Phillies by a half game. Philadelphia did beat the White Sox 6-3. Juan Soto did leave the game with a contusion, fouled the ball off his foot. He did not seem like it was a big deal. We will see. Who knows if he's in the lineup this afternoon. You got Clay Holmes and Yu Darvish going tonight. Coming up next hour, we're going to hear from the football camps. We got some sound from Justin Fields, who did speak to the media after practice yesterday.
How's his foot?
Seems to be doing okay. With the toe. Also, Trey Hendrickson of the Bengals expected to end his holdout and show up to camp today. Still no deal, but I guess they're hoping this moves things.
Too big.
Right.
Fine. These guys got to stay in camp.
In the right direction. So you've got that and more.
And speaking of camp, we'll be at Giants camp tomorrow. Brian Daboll will be on around 7:30, so excited to get out there.
We're talking Anthony Volpe. We're talking trade deadline. We get into it with Kwan for, you know, whatever Yankees prospects here, whether it's Dominguez or Spencer Jones, Schwitler. Who knows what it would take to get Kwan, but if he's available, and it sounds like he is, if I'm the Yankees, I'd go all in. But we started talking about Volpe, BT. Let's get to the calls here. Rob is in Westchester. What's up, Rob? Rob? Okay. Stan is calling from West Orange. What's up, Stan?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Stan. How you doing, pal? What's up?
All right. Well, you know what? I have 2 points I'd like to make. Psychologically, I believe, Sal, to your point, if they did send Volpe down, he'd be able to handle that and wouldn't feel, I think, like the Yankees were slighting him. But on the other hand, I look at it from the perspective that he grew up in this area. He can handle New York. I know he's getting it right now. He might even feel it more, but I think psychologically he can handle it. I watched the game last night. He had some facial expressions that look like he gets it, so that's not an issue. Mm-hmm. But here's the other second half of this. You don't know when Judge is coming back. If Volpe can hit and steal bases, pick up his game offensively, to make the Yankees a better offensive team while Judge is away.
Mm-hmm.
Judge is he's the straw that stirs the drink. While you don't have that straw, you need to make that drink stronger. I don't know if Rosario is going to be offensively challenged when he comes in. We know he's good defensively.
He's going to hit lefties. Rosario is going to rock lefties. He is fantastic against lefties. And Boone doesn't want to use him at shortstop.
Well, you know what? I hopefully they find a way so he doesn't feel like he's got to be an automatic star if he was to give Volpe a couple of days off.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, it's still, you know, maybe it's better because they have more people, you picked up another person maybe they can rely on as you go forward. But, you know, you got to fix this problem.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
You know,
Stan, they're sitting back, and thank you for the call. They're sitting back saying, well, it's got to get corrected. Yeah, okay, that's great. It's got to get fixed. You got to do something about it. And their thought process for 3 years. Now, not every step of the way for 3 years has Volpe been a major problem. But for 3 years, it's been, he'll work it out. We'll work it out. It's all right. All right, year one. Cashman was defiant after year one, saying, yeah, okay, next year when he comes back as an all-star, then what? What are you going to say? Well, guess what? That didn't happen year two. And then year three, okay, well, he'll figure it out at the big league level. Like, they never chose to send him down, brought him up here probably prematurely, let him ride the wave, ride it out. And now in year three, it's gotten worse. It didn't start out pretty, and it's progressively gotten worse every step of the way. And now, even worse than the offensive flaws, because you could live with that,
mm-hmm.
with the way that the Yankees hit at their peak.
Yep.
You could live with him batting ninth and not being the offensive player you thought he was going to be. You cannot live with him making the miscues, the mental miscues that he's been making consistently throughout the course of this year. So we all know it needs to be fixed. Am I going to take, like, are you trying to win? If you're just trying to develop him and you think that this is the best way, that's fine. Are you trying to win a World Series? And if I'm going to take you seriously as trying to win a World Series, you can't keep doing this. It's got to get fixed.
Yeah. And I don't know how it's going to be fixed. I know it's not a lack of reps or lack of work. So I just think there's a mental respite that's required here. And I don't think it needs to be a prolonged like the minors. You do. Others agree. Some don't. I get it. It is not an easy situation to navigate here, because he's had some really high moments and his low moments have been alarmingly low. But I do think that the first step in solving a problem is embracing it rather than deflecting it. And, you know, same with Mendoza after, maybe after, not after a late Met game on the West Coast. But I try to watch every one of these managers' press conferences. Usually you don't get a whole lot. I think Mendoza's a little bit more raw, a little bit more honest with how he assesses the Mets, the more so than Boone. But I thought last night was a good step in the right direction. Boone was short. He was honest. He was a little bit pissed off. He was agitated. And he didn't deflect and try to tell us we're seeing something that we're not. And at least that could be the first step. The next step for me would be I would sit him rather than send him down.
Avi's calling from Jackson. What's up, Avi?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey. Good.
What's happening?
A couple points. First with Volpe, I think you're sending him down. You're just going to end up with him coming back and feeling all the pressure again. He's not like, it's just a mental thing. You know, you throw to first base, you throw it short. It's just you're trying to aim too hard. So when you're trying to aim too much, you got to just let him play through it. If you're going to play him as your shortstop, sending him back down, he's just going to come up and be thinking the same much and putting pressure on himself every time he gets the ball to make the perfect throw. That's my opinion. Second thing is about Kwan.
Well, then, but then how do you fix it?
So either, I mean, you got to play through it. You ever play forward and you're just keep making a mental mistake. It's not going to get fixed by going down to the minors.
Well, it's not getting fixed by just keep playing through it. We've tried that.
Well, it takes time. It could be it will take another three. I'm not saying he's the right shortstop, and maybe he won't get through it, but sending him back down to come back up, he's just going to have the same issue. He's just going to have all the pressure. Every time the ball hits him, yeah. He's going to have the whole thing going through his head. Oh, wait, I have to make the perfect throw.
By the way, Avi, real quick on this, I think it might be worse, which is why I don't want to send him down. If you send him down, right, we all know there's an issue. If you send him down, it's an even bigger spotlight. So let's say he goes down to AAA or even double, whatever's closer. I guess maybe even Somerset, whatever, just to get some reps, right? And he's more polished and he's feeling loose and he's playing like he was at Del Barton and in the minors and as a rookie and he's throwing the ball in the chest across the diamond. Then you call him back up and he's doing it in front of 5,000 people or 6,000. Relative anonymity. You know, he's not going to be on Sports Night every night, not going to be hammered on WFAN, not going to be tweeting about, you know, left and right and all the social media traction that his errors unfortunately generate for the young man. He can do it relative anonymity and he very well might solve mentally whatever is plaguing him now. Then you call him right back up, 43,000 people, Yankee Stadium, pennant race. Whatever's going on inside the mind and the heart and the emotions, I think it comes right back. And I think it might be worse because now it's like, okay, now we expect you to be fixed because we sent you to the minors. And if you're not, it could actually get worse.
Right, but if you keep him here, it also could continue to get worse. And then what? Like, there are only a few options here. Ride it out, which they're trying to do, and that is proven so far. We're almost in August. Like, there are 50-something games to go.
Yeah.
It's a 162-game season. There are 50-something games to go. And it has gotten progressively worse every step of the way. And it's only getting louder and noisier, and the pressure is getting ramped up because of the deadline, because of the postseason crunch here, trying to get in the playoffs, all that stuff. They could either continue to ride it out, which hasn't worked to date, sit him, which they tried that before, didn't really work, maybe sit him a little prolonged, whatever. They could try that. Send him down. What are the other options? Trade him? Like, and even with that, now you'd be trading him at, you know, a
45 cents on the dollar. Yeah. It's the worst time to trade him.
But that's it. Like, it's not like there's many different ways to do this.
I agree. So there's really only two ways or three ways. Ignore it, send him down, or sit him.
They've tried ignoring it.
Correct.
And I guess the next step in theory would be sitting him, but a day or two, okay, sit him and then bring him back out there and see. And if that doesn't work.
Well, then I might be more open to your solution than I am now. And the crazy thing about this, Sal, we talk about like the Yankee defense, and it's been, you know, even the base running going back to that Red Sox series, whatever, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, whatever it was.
June 13th.
Of course he knows the exact date. Oh, jeez. Yeah. You know, when the Mets.
Give or take a few days.
I understand. What date did Soto sign with the Mets again? I forget the exact date. He knows that. He knows the time and the hour. Yep, Sal, give you the timestamp. Sal's got you. The point being is that really, in totality, it still has a chance defensively to be amazing.
Right.
Like, if Volpe can ever get back, and I know he was not Ozzie Smith. We have said that a lot, but he was good as a rookie. If Volpe could ever get back to that, and I think he could, and I think he will. I mean, Jazz is a stud at second. Grisham is a beast in center. Wells, framing, blocking is good behind the plate. Up the middle, defensively, is phenomenal. Right. I mean, if Volpe's doing his job. And now McMahon at third base, so it looks like Greg Nettles, and even if he hits .220, he's going to catch everything. He's a stud with the leather, as we know. So, like, the Yankees' defense, you're throwing Judge in right, you're throwing Bellinger in left, you're throwing Goldschmidt, who suddenly looks like Goldschmidt's starting to annoy me. Suddenly, now, I'm not saying that the onus is fully on Goldschmidt to save Anthony Volpe every time Volpe kills some worms with a throw in the dirt.
Could've.
But, gee, I mean, that's a pick that a nine-year-old kid, that's a short hop, dude. That is an easy pick. And he looked like he was 60 trying to bend down and get it. Again, that's on Volpe, but help him out a little bit. I still think that if Volpe gets his act together, now I don't know about the bullpen, I don't know about Rodon at a big spot, the defense, Sal, could still be very, very good. And if they get Kwan, whatever, I just named 5 or 6+ defenders.
A couple of things before we get to your calls. Number one, Yankees did make a minor trade earlier today for Austin Slater, a right-handed outfielder from the Chicago White Sox. I don't think you should look into this as meaning anything. Like, they're going to trade Trent Grisham or Aaron Judge is more hurt than they're letting on. I think it's simply the Yankees could use a bat that hits left-handed pitching. Trent Grisham is a lefty. Jason Dominguez struggles from the right side, even though he's been better recently. It just gives him another option. It's a nice depth piece for the New York Yankees. So small trade, smart trade. They gave up nothing. Professional right-handed bat who plays the outfield. I don't think it means anything such as Grisham's being traded or Judge's more hurt than they're letting on.
Just to add on to that, though, the obvious move that everybody's expecting is Peraza will not be here. Mm-hmm. So if Peraza's not going to be here, there goes your excuse that Rosario can't play short. You know, he immediately becomes that guy to play for Volpe.
I view him right now as that guy.
Right. So we go from 3 days ago, maybe in a pinch, to he may be the only guy who can play short.
Oswald Peraza right now has no use on this team. And the only reason he is still on this roster is because he's out of options. And there's something very difficult about DFAing a former prospect. It's very difficult to do. I've never done it. I'm not a GM, but I can imagine when you have a guy who's a prospect for so long, you've committed so many resources and time and money, and now the way you get rid of him is designating him for assignment. Like, I think Brian Cashman needs a shot of whiskey. I'm joking.
No, you're right.
It's like when Tommy releases a guy he drafted high in fantasy. Like, you finally do it. I have the same problem. It's like, I can't do this. I drafted him so high.
Or trade him.
Well, no, when you trade him, you get something back. It's easy to rationalize.
Sometimes not good enough. You don't know what you're getting back.
It may not be good enough, but when you get something back, at least you got something back. The day the Yankees decide to send down, quote-unquote, Oswald Peraza, they're DFAing him, and he's gone. And that's it. And all those years that you worked hard to develop him, it's just out the window. The other thing is, Aaron Boone in postgames likes to defend his players. I want to play you a clip from last night. He's asked from Meredith Marakovich one of the early questions about Anthony Volpe's struggles, and you could hear the frustration in Aaron Boone's voice. And I direct that frustration at Anthony Volpe. Like, it was one of the early times, one of the first times this year, I sensed Aaron Boone losing his patience with the Yankee shortstop. Take a listen. Tell me if you feel the same way.
With Volpe, he had two big at-bats there on the offensive end, but obviously the errors. Do you think that's becoming a little bit mental?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get over it. You know, we got to get through it. You know, one thing for certain, he's really, really good out there, and he's clearly had some struggles and, you know, a little indecisive with that last throw, like, you know, and not that, you know, it's a short hop there, but, you know, we can't be indecisive there, and he'll get through it. You know, but obviously there's been some tough moments here, and you know, but for a very talented defender, he will get through it, and we got to get him there.
You can.
It was mostly okay.
It ended like Aaron Boone was back to being the pom-pom guy.
Yeah.
But it started with he's pissed.
Well,
it's frustrating.
You know what I would have liked him to say? We know that Anthony Volpe is a really good, sometimes great shortstop, but right now he sucks. And we got to get that fixed. And I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's a physical issue, but it's unacceptable for him the way he's playing. And he knows that. We all know that. And we'll get it worked on. Like, just acknowledge. Tell us what we're watching.
Right.
I think part of the time with Aaron Boone, he's talking to us as if we don't see it.
But he started, though, like, I feel you, bro.
He did.
But then he started with that pain.
He came back to the same, I guess it's because it was Meredith and he knows her well and it's not a gotcha moment.
Right.
You know? So he's just looser. But everybody else who asks the same question, he's going to get, he's fine. He's nothing to look at here. And that's not okay.
There is clearly something to look at. Yes. You could say all day they got to get through it. To me, the way to get through it is to not commit to him as the everyday shortstop. Mm-hmm. You've got other options on this roster, and that's what Aaron Boone needs to start doing immediately. Jerry is in Comac. Good afternoon today, Jerry.
Evan, you're totally wrong, Evan. That's why you're a sports announcer, not a manager.
Well, there's a few reasons for that, bro.
Volpe's a winner. He's been a winner his whole life.
Go ahead.
6 home runs since the All-Star break. He was a Gold Glove fielder. He just hit the ball 452 feet, and he had two hits yesterday, all positive. The guy works really hard, and I think he's playing a little hurt, to be honest with you.
Well, okay. Maybe that is guys, it, but he had two errors.
Jumping on him, and you shouldn't be. And what two errors? Goldsmith looked like he was sleeping there. You and I could have scooped that up. That was a joke. That was no
but
error.
But you have to admit, no, Jerry, a couple things. I called out Goldie, so I'm with you. He should have made the play.
Yes.
With that said, he bounced the throw, and his defense has been a problem all year. Do you not agree with that?
His defense, yes. He hasn't been as good as he was last year.
No. He's a liability. But Jerry, and I don't know.
No, he's not a liability.
Yes, he is.
He's not a liability. In that clubhouse, he's far from a liability.
I don't care what the clubhouse says. You watch them every day. His defense has become a liability, which is why I give him credit for what he did offensively. I'm not ignoring it, but you can't do that at shortstop and be out there every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading the world in errors. He had two more last night. Come on now.
Did Jerry just lie to Tommy? Is he really from Jersey and he's part of the Volpe family that's for calling and protecting? He's leading the American League in errors, Jerry. He's not a liability, Jerry. He's leading the AL in errors. And last night, if Max Fried didn't finally become the Max Fried we saw early in the year.
Right, after a tough couple of firsts.
Yeah.
Right.
He screwed Max Fried the day he couldn't make a simple flip. And the idea, Goldie should have made the scoop. He triple and quadruple clutched a ball and couldn't figure out what he was doing. I mean, what are we talking about? He's not a liability.
And that's to end the game, by
yes!
the way.
Yes!
That ends the game. Game over.
Could you
routine
imagine?
Grounder to short. There's nothing freaky about it. It's not bouncing the wrong way. He didn't have to short hop it. It didn't, like, clip off his glove. Perfect in his glove. Just get it out of your hand and get it to first base. You've made this throw probably 20,000 times in your life.
If Devin Williams misses a pitch by an inch after that, Anthony Volpe is singularly responsible last night for four runs given up. Thinking about that.
I understand.
The pitching bailed him out greatly. The idea that he's not a liability. Jerry, either you're part of the Volpe family and still trying to protect him, or you're not watching the games.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. I think it's very well said.
People look at the offensive statistics, and because 15 home runs for a shortstop, it's a good number.
Sure.
He's going to have 20-plus home runs when the season's all said and done. But that's not what we're talking about, despite his average being and his OPS being sub what we expected it to be. But who cares? That is what it is. The consistent, the certainty is not there, and that's his defense.
Anthony Volpe, if and I know this is tough because he was a top prospect, but if his career is what his numbers have shown us, which is a 225 hitter, a 670 OPS, but pretty good pop, like 15 to 20 home runs, he already has 15. If those are his numbers and you're doing it with the Gold Glove defense we saw his rookie year, that is an acceptable everyday shortstop.
Right.
Not saying he's a star, not saying he lived up to your expectations, but you can live with that. What has changed is not his offense. Because again, his OPS right now is higher than it was last year or the year before. Still not great, but it's higher. The problem is the consistent defense, especially at that position. Shortstop is an incredibly important defensive position.
Right.
And right now, for whatever reason, and you've got plentiful different reasons for it. Sean's brought up the injury. Whether it's mental, I don't know. All I know is the results, and the results are not good enough. Let's go to Jason in Montgomery, New York. What's up today, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? What's going on, guys? Good God. That first caller, was that me calling up the fan trying to defend Volpe?
Right.
Something. I just wanted to bring up 2 points. First off, Volpe. It is Volpe because, he's got the 15 errors, but Evan, you mentioned the Goldschmidt scoop. It's really everybody on defensive-wise. This is just not a good defensive team. Even that throw by McMahon yesterday, I thought that was going right over Chisholm's head.
Right,
like Chisholm
right.
Had to
luckily, he caught it catch. And got the out and got his foot down to get the out.
Right, right. Yeah, he barely got it. I thought he would be safe. But, yeah, that was just a crazy play. And then the other point I wanted to bring up was so with Emmanuel Classe on the temporary, like he's right now, he's just out of the league. Do you think it would be wise for the Yankees to see what you can get back for Devin Williams since he's not here next year? Like, can you see them getting a nice haul for?
I think they would do very well. I think they would do very well for Devin Williams, but I'm in the business of winning. And that's what I would be thinking.
And the Yankees are always in the business of winning.
Yeah,
and no matter what we think about their
current state of the season, they're still trying to win it.
And if you eliminate your best reliever, or at least one of your best relievers, and that's already a need that you want Brian Cashman to address at the trade deadline, you are making your team worse. Really what the Yankees are trying to do, and I am surprised that it's gotten to this level, but I'm excited. According to multiple reports, it sounds like Minnesota's going to trade Jan Duran today or tomorrow before the trade deadline. And I've made it clear that that's the kind of piece that would really excite me as a Met fan. Now, in the case of the New York Yankees, here's why it would excite me maybe even more. Maybe even more. Because, A, you need bullpen help. You already have two and a half guys you trust in Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, and partially Timmy Hill.
Right.
But Duran is signed for the next couple of years.
Right.
Now we incorporate the Yankees. I mean, if there was, you know, a DVD, a condensed version of what the 2025 Yankees have been about. I mean, obviously, Judge didn't play last night, of course, so I'm stretching the boundaries a bit because Judge has been phenomenal. Without him, they'd be awful. But, I mean, last night, you got it all. I mean, you forgot Austin Wells. How many outs are there? You had another error by Volpe. You had Volpe's home run. You had the closer serving things up. You had a balk. You had extra innings. You had a lot, right? Okay. So here's the thing. I'm not getting on the air defending Anthony Volpe's defense. It's indefensible. He's in his own head. You don't need to be a sports psychologist to acknowledge that. He is an absolute train wreck right now at shortstop. We all know that. But this notion that the Yanks are breaking Anthony Volpe or Anthony Volpe is busted entirely is fiction. If you are a mental mess and unable to do one part of your job, which clearly he cannot do right now, you're not hitting six home runs in your last 44 bats. You're not hitting a slider that's basically 5 inches off the dirt with one hand off a stud closer in Fairbanks if you are not equipped to fight through this. So all the Volpes, it's not even slander because it is a true reaction to how bad he's been in the field. But I got to tell you, I think it's been hijacked to a point that's now unfair and not really, more importantly for me, Sal, representative of where he is as a player. He stinks as a shortstop right now, but he's hitting well and he's hitting clutch moments. So the thought about sending him down, to me, it's nonsense. They're not breaking Anthony Volpe by having him play every day. That's not the case.
He's hitting .217.
I understand that. What's
his OPS?
Okay, I don't care. I don't care. The OPS. I like the OPS. I don't care. It is my thing.
700 OPS.
I don't care about, which, by the way, is only 47 points lower than Lindor.
Yeah.
I don't care
about
OPS.
Well, you don't want to compare the two.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, the OPS is my favorite offensive stat. Clearly, I referenced that, of course.
Well, pick me a good one that Volpe has, and I'll be
How about here's the stat that I'm going to pick you. He's got six home runs in his last 44 at-bats, which is why I'm going to run him out there more and more and more and more. He's going to finish with 23-24. So he's not a home run hitter.
So that's my point. So then why are we hanging on to this? Now, let me just say, before we get into this debate, because I do want to preface it, how could you not feel great for Volpe last night with that moment?
Phenomenal moment. Awesome moment. By the way, I was hoping that McMahon almost popped out. I wanted to give Volpe another chance to get the walk-off. That's how I was almost rooting for that.
He needed it. And the feel to me was at least, okay, well, he hits this big home run.
Yeah.
Maybe now that can carry over. But he's hit a bunch of home runs, to your point, recently, and it's not carrying over. He can't make a routine play. Like, you don't think he's broken? I do. I would never want that guy playing shortstop for my team if I'm trying to win.
But okay.
He's a minor leaguer right now. That's my thought. So,
I got you. If you're broken, then you produce nothing. Because think about the word. If a clock is broken, it is inoperable. If this microphone is broken, you can't hear a syllable. So he's not broken. That's incorrect. He's a mess. He's defensively
lost.
Lost, whatever words you want to use. He is not a broken baseball player because the contributions are still there. Granted, it's not even one side of the ball because the other night he stole third base. He popped up on the errant throw. He scored. You know, it's not just the 452-foot home run that he banged off not the scoreboard, but that signage at right center the other night. It's not just the one-handed, you know, missile that he hit last night off for great, great. Fairbanks, his numbers are insane. He's very hard to hit. And it's not just that. He's doing other things. I'm not saying that he's playing good shortstop. Indefensible, substandard. It's the worst shortstop play. He's worse than Gleyber was when Gleyber was playing shortstop permitted for the Yankees right now. But he's not broken. That is not true. When you're broken, you're useless. And he's not a useless baseball player. He's a wreck of a defensive player. That's what's happening.
Yeah, sounds like I'm sitting here with Aaron Boone.
No. Is he not hitting the baseball sound?
When I say broken, like me personally, I can't speak for everybody else. When I say broken, I mean he shouldn't be playing shortstop at the major league level right now. And that's why I would send him down to the minors to get him right because of the potential. You know me, I believed in Volpe even more so than you, thinking of the high-end side.
That's true. Going back.
Just because he hit 6 home runs in his last 5, whatever it is, that does nothing for me. I'm sorry, it does.
But he's got to do something for you. No. I mean, how many home runs are hitting 6 home runs in 40 at-bats?
Doesn't matter. He's not a home run hitter.
I understand that.
It's not sustainable.
But he's going to have 20-something home runs.
I'd rather him catch the effing ball and throw it to first base like a real shortstop than hit the 6 home run. So I would be okay if you were hitting 217. Now, obviously, you don't want him to hit 217. I'd be okay if you were hitting 217, batting ninth with no home runs, but playing a major league shortstop. He's not. So what would be more important to me, catching it regularly, especially the routine plays, and throwing it regularly to first base. That, to me, is more valuable, more important than the home runs. Huge home run. No doubt about it. Nobody's taking that away. He's not supposed to be a home run hitter. I'll take the home runs, but the other things, to me, are more important. And just because something is broken doesn't mean it's not completely useful. It's broken. It needs to be fixed. He needs to be fixed.
Well, here's the thing, though. Listen, would I prefer the 6 home run, and I'll use the word barrage, it's not a Judge barrage, but it's 6 home runs and 40-something at bats is pretty good for anybody, let alone Volpe. I would almost prefer 6 doubles the gap the other way and a couple of
Me
more
too.
Steals. I know.
Right.
So I'm not hanging too much onto the home run prowess because I don't think he'll ever be a 30, low 30s, mid-30s home run kind of guy. It's my hope that eventually he becomes a 35 steal, 270-ish hitter, which I don't know that he'll get there, 20-plus home runs, and gold glove defense again. So we're not having two entirely different conversations.
Right.
All I'm pushing back on, listen, when you are, and I know that there's elements of being broken, but when you are broken, I just think it's been portrayed inaccurately by too many people, and I got to push back today. If you are broken, you are physically busted and you are mentally shot. And if you are mentally shot and physically busted, you're not getting in the batter's box last night with 40,000 people booing you all night, which they were, and the boos have been trickling in, rightfully so, and hitting a home run to tie the game. That salvaged what would have been, I think, the most disgusting loss of the season.
Could he have just threw the ball to first base cleanly?
Like, he could have, like, but that's
night,
something
every
else.
Every night's the same thing. Literally every night.
I know.
We just talked about it yesterday. Okay, Boone doesn't want to give him a day off. You wanted to give him rest.
I did.
You wanted to give him rest. I said send him down. What happens? They play him. He makes another error.
I understand that.
Eazy-E. That's my new nickname for him, Eazy-E. All he does is make the easiest plays. He turns them into errors. That's clearly a mental thing. Like, I don't get it. You feel good that he hit the home run. You're right. It's a big home run. And with a player that I'm not saying that there's not potential still there. I'm not saying there's not something there that could be saved. I still believe in Anthony Volpe. So that home run is a part of that, right? Like, look at what could be. I need him to catch the ball and throw it. I don't know how you can run him out there again today and expect anything different. Like, the fact that you make an error every single game, you mentioned six homers in 5 days?
Yep.
And how many errors does he have in that
span? I think they showed a stat, six home runs, 5 errors in the last 11 games. I mean, no. Listen, to play this sloppily at the most important defensive position on a baseball diamond, along with catcher and center, it's untenable. This cannot go on forever. I understand. And I'm not making an excuse. I'm just trying to add a little bit of context to not even a narrative, because it is true, to a storyline that has now been a little hijacked. It's like Anthony Volpe stinks. No. Anthony Volpe stinks at catching the baseball.
Well, that's different.
Right now, Anthony Volpe is starting to hit the hell out of the baseball.
Saying Volpe stinks is different than
saying... But that's what everybody's saying.
No. That's different than broken. I never once said...
I'm not saying that. But everybody's telling me Anthony Volpe stinks.
Well, that to me is different. If they're saying that, then you could add that argument and saying, well, I don't think he stinks. I think he's still got potential. I would argue that he's still got potential. sending him, and that's why I was trying to reiterate this yesterday. Saying you want to send somebody down is not saying that it's over. There's a difference between what we were saying about LeMahieu or Hicks or Gallo versus what we were saying about Volpe or even throwing Torres. Like, Torres, they need to move on because he just wasn't mentally ever going to be there. We knew what type of player he is. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I want to fix Volpe because there's a lot there that is worth salvaging. He's still a young player. It's year three. He's progressively gotten worse, and he continues to go out there and make routine errors. They need to fix him. That's my issue. I never said he stinks. I like Volpe. I still think he's got potential. I'm worried that they are ruining Anthony Volpe by continuing to throw him out there. The home run's a great sign.
Yep.
You hope he can work through it. Let's see what happens today. Hold our breath. Cross our fingers that he gets through today. Whoa, he made a routine play. Oh, okay, got a base hit. Like, we're nursing him along. This is the major league trying to win a World Series.
But you can't, you see, this is where I push back. You can't use the word ruin when he's doing what he did last night. Because that's just, it does, it's not, it's,
E.T.,
it's,
even the worst
but it's
players,
not happening.
Even the worst players hit home runs. Like, come on.
The what?
Even the worst players hit home runs.
Yeah, but, I mean, not off a stud closer, you know, when you're down a run and after a horrendous, you know, two-run home run that your closer just gave up and when he banged on, 452 the previous night. What do you mean,
Give him a participation
trophy. No, I'm not saying that.
Chris, you ever heard of Chris Jones before, baseball player? Chris Jones?
Chris Jones?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know Chris Jones from Brooklyn.
He was a pinch hitter extraordinaire. Used to wear number 5.
For the Mets?
Yeah. And he even hit a big home run in the ninth inning to tie a game.
Did he win a gold glove?
No.
Okay. Did he steal 25 bases? Okay, did he hit 23 home runs in a season? Did he hit a grand slam in a World Series? This is all I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. You're hanging on to a home run.
I'm hanging on to the fact that he's a hot hitter right now.
Dude, he's hitting .217.
Sal, but you're looking at the totality of the season.
Three seasons.
Okay, but hold on. Then be consistent, because you're the guy who's telling me that Lewis Robert is on a hot streak, which is why he's more attractive, but 2 months ago you didn't like him. So which one is it?
Well,
because he's on a 6-week tear, he's suddenly more attractive to you now, but when he was hitting .204, I don't know if I like him. Which one is it?
Well, there's a big difference here.
He's hitting, you know, his season stats aren't good.
No, dude, it's not about that. And by the way, I told you I'd rather have Brandon Lau, but it's not about that.
But you didn't tell me Brandon Lau 2 months ago. He told me 2 days ago.
Did Volpe make a clean play last night, or did he make another error?
He made a couple of clean plays.
Did he make another error
last night? Yeah, of course he did.
So then stop talking about the home run and talk about the error.
I can't.
Why?
Because it's
you're focusing on, like, I don't know why. How do you think Robert is relevant to Anthony Volpe's conversation?
Because you're bringing up, it's incredibly relevant. What you're missing is you're choosing to ignore.
No, I'm not.
No, you are, though. You're bringing up, you keep going back to, he's hitting .217. I know what he's hitting. I understand that. But when you are in the middle of what I think
will be
the early stages of a hot streak, I'm not sending him down to the minors. That's idiotic.
Did I ever once say Robert hit a home run, the Mets should go get him? That's what you're saying. Volpe hit a home run. Keep him up here. Roll with him. And by the way, you never said send him down.
I never said send him down. I've always stood by that.
You did say sit him yesterday.
I did say, and I would even sit him today and let him DH.
Okay, well,
I'm not saying there's no problem. Yeah. We have different methods of, the methodology of fixing him is where you and I disagree.
No.
I'm not sending him down.
I think the difference is you're reacting to his power surge as of late.
But also his base running. There's other things that he's been doing, Sal.
If that's good enough for you, that's fine. He hit some home runs. His base running is good. I mean, it's good enough for Boone. Good enough for the Yankees. It's not good enough for me.
Hey, I get it. I don't think you're alone. All I'm saying is
he can't make a routine play.
We make it seem like, if they don't send him down or if they don't banish him and get him out of public view, little tiny Anthony Volpe's going to melt like a piece of ice on the concrete in July. Got news for you. He's actually showing me something because he's trying to fight out of this. The easiest thing would be 1-for-14, 9 Ks, I can't hit, let me throw my helmet, let me wallow in misery, I suck, I'm done, didn't work out, I'm not a major leaguer. This young man is trying to plow through what's got to be, times a million, the most embarrassing sequence in his young baseball life. And when you get embarrassed, and when you start to unravel, there's two choices, dude. Whether you're a 7-year-old kid trying to learn math or a 25-year-old, 20-year-old trying to be shortstop for the Yankees, you either crumble or you elevate. And to me, I'm seeing enough signs of Volpe elevating, and that's why I got his back.
We should have Cody Rhodes momentarily in studio as well, BT.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, one of the biggest names in the WWE. We had Triple H on yesterday. SummerSlam this weekend, of course, at MetLife. So we talked to Cody Rhodes coming up in a little bit. Not sure he's a baseball fan, definitely a football fan. But either way, when news breaks, we'll have it here.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, remember when we went to Saturday Night's Main Event, me, you, and Hoff?
Yeah.
And the way it ended?
When Cody got taken out of the stretcher.
After they went off TV.
Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
I'm sitting there saying, is this real? Did they break for it? Was this a shoot?
I went back and watched that Unreal show again. You've seen him.
Yeah.
Did you saw it last night?
No. I thought you meant I recorded it that night.
Yeah. I went back and watched the Unreal show because it goes over like what has already happened.
Yeah.
So like they had the behind the scenes of that night, and it's bizarre to
see.
Did
they really?
Yeah, and then like you could see Triple H saying, okay, well, cameras are off now, let Kevin Owens go in there and pile drive him, and okay, get him out in the stretcher. Like, it's fascinating.
Wow.
You love it, dude. You gotta check it out.
Okay.
Either way, Cody Rhodes should be joining us momentarily. Jim
Bowden.
Wow. Jim Bowden. And again, dude, who knows? Nightingale, I don't even want to read his reports, although I will. Nightingale first. Padres have no plans to trade closer Robert Suarez, giving them the best bullpen in baseball. They also may keep Dylan Cease after getting J.P. Sears. So that is a conflicting report with what we heard otherwise.
Very different, yeah, with them.
Bowden. White Sox continue conversations regarding trading Luis Robert. Mets, Phillies, and freaking Padres still involved.
The Padres are just going big game hunting, boy.
Dude. I mean, do they need Luis Robert? Like, I'd be lying if I said that locked and loaded on the Padres roster, but they are loading up. Good
wow.
for them. I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect going all in.
Well, you don't look at the Padres as a team that maybe generates quite the money that the Yanks and the Mets do, but you look at the attendance figures, Padres are top five.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful ballpark,
it's
great
awesome.
City. The team is very good.
Yep.
One more from Martino here. I gave you what he said before about the conundrum that the Yanks are facing trying to get an impact reliever without giving up Dominguez, Rice, Jones, Lombard, Schlittler. So far, that's been tough. He then mentioned that they are nonetheless still hoping/expecting to trade for some pen help today. But that's like...
Yeah. Well,
So let me ask you. You were asking before what we think the Mets are going to come away with. We both agree that they're going to get at least a bat, probably a center field or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen with the Yankees?
I think the Yanks are going to get one starter, and I think the Yanks are going to get one relief arm.
Okay. So a bullpen arm and a starter.
Yeah.
And you'd be okay with that depending on the...
Depending upon who they are. Like, if it's...
got to be a high-leverage bullpen arm at least.
That's what I'm saying. If it's not, I'm not happy. If it is, I'm pretty happy. And, you know, the starter, if it's like a... Alcantara would make me happy. You know, Zach Gallen, I'd be cool with. If it's Merrill Kelly, I think it would have to depend on the... on the ceiling of these guys, but if they have to get it, dude, there's no way. We could sit here all days until the cows come home. There is no way that Cashman walks away with nothing today.
No, I would think they could. Yeah, but like.
I mean, come on,
but if it's
man.
Not, here's what nothing would be in my mind.
Yeah.
Nothing would be a nondescript reliever. Like, Griffin Jacks, okay, whatever, but is that the arm that's going to be a difference maker in the Yankees bullpen? Maybe, I guess you could argue, a bullpen arm that is not a legit high leverage arm.
Well, there's only so many left here.
I know, but I'm saying that they could get a bullpen arm that could be, you know, they think they could turn him into somebody.
I know what you're saying.
Like, Cruz or whatever. Like, it can't be those guys.
No, I agree. I mean, but there's only so many of those top flight guys still out there.
Right.
I mean, three or four are already off the market. Board.
Yeah. So. Well, Bednar would be the clear one.
Yep.
He's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Bonafide. Yeah. I mean, that's the one, at the very least, you want to see them get that. All right. John is in Bayonne. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. BT, you hit the nail right on the head with Volpe. 58 RBIs. I think it's like 13, 14 home runs. So sending him down was not worth it. Errors only 15. They started recurring when Oswald Cabrera went down. You had to worry about what's on the right. And it comes to the kid's head. And as far as Dominguez, I don't trade him. I keep him. Because I remember a guy named Bernie Williams, if they traded him, look what he turned out for. You know, number three is, as far as center field for the Mets, there's a guy called Crow Armstrong for the Cubs. He was 19 years old and you're trading him for Javier Vasquez or Diaz, whatever.
Javi Baez, get the name right. John, what's your point?
Okay,
what's your point?
What I'm trying to say is, Sal, you cannot trade top flight prospects.
Okay.
You can't.
Okay.
Okay? You can't.
No, you can. You have to hope that they're the right one. You can, or you can hold on to them. Dominguez, all I heard was the Martian, 8 home runs in 7 games, whatever it was. How many home runs he got in the entire year this year? Like, Dominguez now is, Jason Dominguez, forget Volpe, which is now 3 years in. We could argue about that. Jason Dominguez, what we thought he was a year ago, what we thought he was coming into the season, and when I say we, I mean everybody, myself included. What we thought he was a year ago, 2 years ago, coming into the season versus what he is now, you could not be more different. There's still potential there, but Jason Dominguez has not been anywhere close to what we expected him to be, even as recently as the start of the season.
Listen, the sample from a couple of years ago when he had, what, 7 or 8 home runs, whatever it was.
In a 88 game, whatever.
Yeah, it was a lot of home runs. Where he is now, it's not commensurate with what I thought he would be.
But even they were expecting him to be the leadoff hitter this year.
No, I know.
Before the season.
I don't want, I would trade Dominguez for the right person, all right? But even there's a reluctance. I would do it, though. Like, I'm not half-stepping it. I would do it. I would trade Dominguez, but I would do so with regret because they never put him in his natural position, and he's 22. And, yeah, we've gotten some answers on Dominguez. We haven't gotten all the answers on Dominguez, and I'd like to kind of see the process through and get all the answers. The problem is, if you wait long enough to get those answers and the answers aren't what you wanted to see, well, now the trade value is diminished, and now it changes what you could do in a year or two.
And by the way, I don't even know if I would trade him at this point. Like, I'm not saying he's a total bust. All I'm saying is that the excitement around him, it was, Dominguez.
No. I know.
Like, not just a player, like
a franchise altering.
Dude, high impact, like switch hitting.
Yep.
There are already limitations in left field. The average isn't there. The power isn't there. Like, they're nursing along another guy that is trying to get him more seasoning at the big league level, just like Volpe. The expectation was one of the top shortstops in the game. That was the expectation. That wasn't fake.
But the difference with Volpe and Dominguez, Volpe's got a first year on film, on tape, that's just more maybe believable than what Dominguez has put on tape so far.
Yeah, but the other
With Volpe's first year flaws.
The other difference is that it's year 3 for Volpe and it's year 1.
No, I know, but I'm going back to year 1. I'm saying Volpe year 1.
In year 1 there was at least
glove, power, more steals. Like, you're like, all right, he's
going
to eventually get on base more. Now he hasn't really.
There was reason to believe it was going to get better
in year 2. There was just more evidence on the major league level than Dominguez.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll keep it going with the conversation as far as the trade deadline stuff for both the Mets and the Yankees. We'll have a little fun with Cody Rhodes in studio ahead of SummerSlam this week. Again, when we come back.
I thought then, boy, if they cut off part of the season, that's going to kill the sport. The more I think about it, I don't think it will. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of people like Tommy, even if I disagree with you, I do think that you represent a lot of people who would say, whatever, start the season in July. We're good.
120-game schedule?
Yeah.
Guess what? We'll still be interested.
And people will still be interested. I think the difference in 1994, which everyone is still scarred by, even though it was a million years ago, is that they had a season. Mm-hmm. Like, it was August, and then they stopped it and didn't give you a World Series. Like, you were having all the fun, and then they took it away from you.
You never don't want to see an ending.
Correct. Like, we still have questions about what would have happened in 1994. When you start a season late, and I know this from 1995 with baseball, the NBA had it twice. We barely remember the years where it actually happened.
Right.
Because we concluded we had a champion, and we're good. I think the only thing that would be a problem is if it was a 50-game season like we had during the pandemic. Like, there needs to be some semblance of a real season. But I don't think it would be the death knell that I was worried it was going to be when we had the lockout back in 2022. Not that that should make Rob Manfred say, screw it, let's have a lockout.
Right.
But I don't feel like it's going to be the death sentence for Major League Baseball.
Can we get to the real root, though, of why Hal Steinbrenner wants a salary cap?
Because he doesn't want to spend as much anymore?
He doesn't want to, and more importantly, can't compete with Steve Cohen. So now the almighty Yankees now want a salary cap. Now I've heard it all. I've been in the business for, 15, 20 years, a sportsman for 40 years. I've heard it all now. We could end it now. The New York Yankees would like a salary cap, just coincidentally, right? Just like they got rid of the beard thing, coincidentally. And now they want to get rid of the salary cap or have a salary cap, coincidentally. No. They can't compete with the Mets. So they want now an even playing field. The Steinbrenners didn't want a salary cap all these years ago because when they were the big dogs in town, they could spend and buy championships, then it was okay. Now that they can't spend with the Mets, and they certainly can't spend with the Dodgers, they want a salary cap. Mm-hmm. And Sean's going to lay it out like, oh, yeah, this is good because Brian Cashman's not going to get fired no matter what. He's got a lifetime contract, whether there's a salary cap or not. Him and Boone are here for
He's
life.
He's doing a good job.
They're Leave senators. Brian Cashman alone. They're never getting rid of him. They're on the Supreme Court. They're here for life.
Hey, loser, it was a different Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner owning the team when it was the Caps.
But, okay? Sean, you think...
I always wanted a Cap. It doesn't matter if you... what the Yankees were doing was unfair.
Time out.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Lou Gehrig's debate service?
Yep.
I don't have the music. Hold on.
Oh, God.
He's got to get the music. So anytime these two are about to fight like rabid dogs, we make it official. We have a scoreboard here in the Evan and Tiki studio, where they each get 60 seconds to make their case and then 30 seconds to, like, beat each other up. And then we pick a winner. That score currently has it Sean 8, Tommy 6. Let me check my scoreboard just to confirm we have the same numbers here, because we have been very official with the Lou Gehrig debate series. See, I have 7-6.
Oh, yeah, we're very much on the up and up. You don't have the same score that we have on the whiteboard that's written in scribble. How official could this be?
I have it being 7-6, Sean. How do you have it 8-6?
I don't know.
And why is Let's Go Mets on the board?
Very official. Very official.
Just for the record, I have it 7-6 with the last Lou Gehrig debate series. We actually had two of them on June 4th. We had a doubleheader.
We did.
Sean won one, Loogie won the other.
So just get Don on it here.
Either way, his name is Dan.
All right, Don. So get Doug on it.
Either way, officially right now, we'll trust your scoreboard. It's 8-6. The possession arrow is in Tommy's possession, which means Tommy gets to decide if he wants to kick off the Lou Gehrig debate series or allow Sean to go first. So, Tommy, your decision?
I would like Sean to go first.
All right, now play the music.
Oh, the music.
I don't even know. What are we arguing?
I don't know. I forgot already.
I know, because as soon as he started fighting, it hit me in the head. Has Hal Steinbrenner embracing a salary cap proven once and for all that the New York Mets are big brother? Is this Hal's way of conceding the city to the Mets because he wants a salary cap? Sean Morash.
Hal Steinbrenner has been complaining about the luxury tax and not going over it way before Tiki Barber spoke into a microphone and said, I heard the Mets might be selling to Steve Cohen. So this has nothing to do with Steve Cohen and the Mets. It has been influenced, though, by the Guggenheims, their dumb museum, and the dumb Dodgers, and all their deferred money. And that is where this whole salary cap comes into play. You can pay anybody you want in Dodgerland and continue to pay them until 2050. That is the issue. Steve Cohen is very filthy rich. If he starts giving out all his deferred money, then you can join the rodeo, pal. Until then, this is about the Dodgers, who last time I checked are still your daddy as much as they are our daddy.
All right, he only used 35 seconds, which is fine. Tommy Lou Gehrig, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Hal Steinbrenner has no interest in competing with Steve Cohen. He can't compete with Steve Cohen. We saw that with Juan Soto. He picked the Mets because they have a brighter future, and they have more to offer. So Hal Steinbrenner, I guess we could set up a GoFundMe account for the Yankees now, because they don't have enough money to spend on free agency, and they want to be on the same level with the Royals and the Pirates because of Steve Cohen now. Because if it was the Wilpons, we wouldn't be hearing about a salary cap. And if the Dodgers weren't doing what they were doing, we wouldn't be hearing about a salary cap. The Yankees want to run their operation now, I guess, like a mom and pop. They want to run their... this is what Yankee fans want to hear as they're driving to work today. A salary cap, so you could be a mid-market team. That's what the Yankees want to be, because you can't handle what's going on in Queens. It's all about this. Shaving the beard, Juan Soto, there'll be names on the back of the jersey next year. That'll be the next thing they do. They want a salary cap because they cannot compete with the Bucks that is going on Big Brother in Queens.
Okay, yeah, Steve Cohen did a hell of a job spending on all the pitching. The Yankees just gave 8 years to Max Fried, so it's not about being the Pirates or the Tigers. It's about simply just trying to compete as level a playing field as possible, not going over a luxury tax to have small market owners take the money and put in their pocket. Hal is tired of gassing up the Pirates owner's yacht just to compete like that.
Well, what, he doesn't have money for gas? Going. What is he got to put? He's got to turn over a seat cushion, a couch cushion to get quarters to give to the Pirates for gas money? This used to be the Yankees' biggest advantage. This is what made them thrive. You want to say it was this, it was that, it was the money. Now they want to take what used to be their biggest advantage and they don't want to use it anymore because it's no longer an advantage. That's why. They no longer have the most money. So now they want to cry poor and say, all right, we need a salary cap, because they can't compete with the Mets. They have no interest in it either, but they can't do it financially. A salary cap. The Yankees want a salary cap. Boy.
Positive, Tommy. Positive, Sean. Checking in. Can you just tell me the record?
Yeah, you're not positive,
Yankees,
Sean.
What is the record between the Yankees and Mets playing this year?
You're going to pull the record
what
from this year?
Answer the question. What's the record?
It was your World Series. It's tied.
Okay, so three. I think they competed just fine.
Right. Really? We have more wins than you.
All right. All
and
right.
We went further games with the Dodgers. Okay. I think I won that, Lou Gehrig.
Tommy, it's my second. I won.
The one where we said who had a better run last year.
Positive Tommy and Mary Morash. This is an interesting one because they both made very good points.
Yeah.
Because I think Sean's point about not wanting a salary cap because teams like the Pirates don't want to spend and they're just collecting the the tax money from all the other teams that are spending is very true.
Mm.
But at the same time, Tommy's point that everybody spends money, not everybody, but there are a lot of teams that spend money as opposed to just the Yankees and maybe a couple other teams. It's hard to compete. It's harder to compete the way you used to compete. And so the reality is that the Yankees need to find a way to do it differently because how they used to do it is not going to work anymore.
Right.
And so in some ways he's right, but Sean is also right. This is a tough one.
Well, who won the actual debate though? They both made compelling points. I'll give you that. Who won the actual debate?
I think I got to give it to Tommy.
Yeah, I think Tommy kicked his ass. I think this was a mismatch.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed about this, I've been studying the Lugash debate series, and my records have this now tied 7-7. You have it 8-7, Sean. We'll double-check the history books. But I have every Lugash debate series written down. So I don't think I could be wrong here.
Switch that possession arrow to...
Yeah, we got to switch the possession arrow now to Sean. Here's the thing I've noticed about Lugi and Sean. When Lugi is on the aggressive, and that was aggressive, right? We talked about the salary cap. I was about to take a call. And Tommy's like, hold on. I was like, you know, Tommy's got something to say. Let's hear it. And Tommy came out like flying, like smoking. Like, this proves that their little brother, you know, Sean was so on the defensive, he wasn't ready to take a punch or fight with him.
I agree
with that. And so I think that when Tommy is aggressive, he has a natural edge over Sean because he's like a turtle that wants to go back into a shell when he notices an aggressive Tommy. And so I think from the beginning, Tommy was uppercutting him all over the place, and Sean had no retort. I thought, Sean, you showed some fight at the end.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Tommy's talking about yachts.
Look,
it just made me laugh.
Evan, no doubt about it, and this is one of those, you know, I always fight those. I think Tommy won that debate, too. I know I'm right and he's wrong, but his heart was into it more than mine, and that's on me. So that's all.
That's all it is.
That's what it's about.
Debate's not who's right or wrong.
Exactly.
It's who makes the better
and
argument.
The world, and who's stuck in traffic knows I was right, but Tommy can win the little fight.
But you know what? Okay, so let's put that aside. Tommy won. It's clear.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I think Sean has an extra. I think we gave him something for. It wasn't a debate. It was something else.
Well, that doesn't count then.
It does because it was debate-ish. And I can't remember now what it was. I'm completely lost on it. But I remember we gave him the extra victory because of something not related to a debate.
All I know is I have 14 Lugash debate series written down on a document right now with everything. The date, what it was about, the final score.
I remember which one. It was when Evan was out and me and Tommy debated why the show's better without Evan. And then I won. So you missed that one, Evan.
Really? Tommy was defending me? No way.
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, that doesn't even sound realistic. All right, so I have it at 7-7, you had it at 8-7. But in terms of the actual debate, like the salary cap and Hal's motivation for wanting it, I actually think Tommy's right.
Yeah.
And not necessarily about the Mets. Like, I get the Mets stuff, and you should throw that in there. I think it's about the landscape of baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time in which the Yankees were the bully. They're not anymore.
No.
And it's not just the Mets, but the Mets are a part of it. They did take Juan Soto away. It's the Dodgers, too.
Right.
And I almost think that ownership is looking at the landscape of baseball and saying, yeah, we can spend more than Tampa. Yeah, we can even spend more than a handful of teams in baseball, most teams in baseball, but the Mets in our own backyard took a player away, and the Dodgers are running circles around
this
us.
This is why I can't stand when people, for at least the last year or so, prior to the last year, kept calling the Yankees the evil empire, because they're not.
No, they're not.
Not even close anymore. It's the Dodgers, and what Tommy said is right. The Dodgers are doing it, Sean said this was right. They're doing it in this convoluted way. Here, Shohei Ohtani, we're going to give you the largest contract at the time that any Major League Baseball player has ever gotten. By the way, it's only going to count $40 million on our cap and on our luxury tax, even though it's $70 a year, and you're not getting the money until 2040, right? So that it doesn't feel right, and if there was a cap, you couldn't do those things. And so the Dodgers wouldn't be able to cheat the payroll system the way that they have been over the last couple of years by deferring almost everybody's salary out until, you know, probably way past they're done playing. So in that regard, it keeps it equitable, but it also pulls down the pricing that players are getting, and that's something that the union is never, ever going to go for.
I'm looking back at the history of the Lugash debate series. My favorite one is November 7th, 2024, the weekend leading up to Juan Soto's decision.
Yeah.
They debated. Sean said Juan Soto has no chance to be a Met. And Sean actually won the debate. And 2 days later, he was a Met. That may be my favorite one. So, because
it's not about who's right or wrong.
No, you're right.
It's just who wins the debate.
And my records have it at 7-7.
even though for some reason Sean's got an extra point on the big board.
Just get Don on it.
His name is Dan, and he does more work than you, so show him respect.
Does he?
I mean, he does more work than all of us. The guy's sitting there going through the archives of not just this show, but the Rico Brogna. I love Dan for that.